Zero Point Energy, reverse engineered UFO technology, bioelectromagnetic healing, Tesla. Those are just some of the things we can talk with Dr. Tom Vallone about in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Dr. Tom Vallone, our guest. We're going to take your calls. Tom, what would you like to be doing 10 years from now?
10 years from now, I'm definitely going to be working full-time for my nonprofit, Integrity Research Institute. My wife and I are both aiming in that direction and saving up our money and also working to build up the institute with many different marketing plans. And, of course, I keep writing books like I shouldn't.
Well, good for you. You know, we need more people like you out there pounding away at this.
Thank you.
You ready for the phones?
Okay.
West of the Rockies, Mike in San Jose, California. You're on with us. Hey, Mike.
George, how you doing?
Great, thanks.
Good. George, a question for your expert there. Over the weekend, I got, there was a Tesla coil. A guy had a Tesla coil with a copper pyramid at the top of it, and people would walk close to this thing, and the Tesla coil pyramid thing would arc off and hit people in the hands. He said, put your hands out, and you'll receive a shock from this. Well, I did this. It was really neat, but afterwards, I went home, and I have a problem hearing. I get ringing in the ears and stuff, and I was wondering, could this possibly improve your hearing? Because it seemed that afterwards I did this, a couple hours later, I could hear better. I could hear the television better. I didn't have to yell anymore because I felt like I had damaged hearing in the past, and I was just wondering if this could possibly affect improving your hearing.
Good question. What do you think, Tom?
Actually, I've heard anecdotal reports of improving vision, and that's from a number of sources. But hearing is something that's new as far as the report that this gentleman's describing. But to tell you the truth, when you're experiencing a flood of the high voltage potential and electrons, and of course you would contact with some piece of metal coming off of it, it definitely does provide a jolt to the transmembrane potential, so that all of a sudden you're going to get toxins moved that probably have not been moved in a while.
Yeah. Absolutely. It felt that way. And I was just wondering if it did, because there was a marketed improvement in my hearing, and I wish I could buy one of these things to get shocked all the time if that was the case.
Yeah, you can, and as I say, biocharger.net is one example, and vibemachine.com is another. So they're coming onto the market, and I think hopefully the price will start coming down too.
Great, sir. Thank you very much, George. Thank you very much.
Okay, Mike. It is a wonder what this bioelectromagnetic healing might do in terms of the possibilities. Let me ask you the big question about the C question, Tom, if I can.
Sure.
Has it been used on people with cancer?
Yes, it has. And this is the sad story that is repeated and summarized in my book right in the very beginning as far as the history of this. Specifically, for example, in 1932, at the American Congress of Physical Therapy, Dr. Gustav Kolischer announced that Tesla's high-frequency electric currents are bringing about highly beneficial results in dealing with cancer, surpassing anything that could be accomplished with ordinary surgery. So this is 1932, and essentially the research that was done in the San Diego area at the University of San Diego also made it become mainstream as well. Until the state of California Health Department conducted a hearing ordering the testing of Rife's device, for example, to be stopped. And it became a real confrontation because these things were so beneficial and successful.
Next up, first-time caller line, we've got Colin in Colorado Springs. Hi, Colin.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Great.
Great. Dr. Vallone, I don't mean to be presumptuous, but I am from Colorado Springs, and we've all seen the movie The Prestige.
Yes.
I know. It's one of those things you got to either take to heart or just admire in its own entirety. And, the thing about it was the battle for electromagnetic currents in the turn of the century was either alternate or direct. Yes. And it seemed that the Edisonians seemed to want to disrupt. You know what? They got the car battery, and we got everything else.
That's a good point.
Isn't that true?
Very good, yes.
So here's the thing. If Nikola Tesla can transmit electricity through the atmosphere and bring it down to us as free energy, what are we, over the next 50 years, given the last 100 years of electromagnetical engineering ability? Here's the thing, okay? I originally went to school to be a physicist. I wanted to be an astronaut. I have a long-standing family history of electromagnetic engineering. Unfortunately, one of the products of that was the guided missile, which was not possible without a short and reproducible electrical current in a sustainable environment. Well, what are we to do if we have a long-standing electromagnetic current, which not only feeds what we've been talking about tonight, what if it not only feeds these subcutaneous infiltrations, these Tesla jumps within our own personal neurons? What happens if they get out of control? I believe that if there's an electromagnetic field and we're all participating in it, what happens to our own personal identity within it?
Well, I can answer that from experience, and actually I do subscribe to the protection from electropollution. And in fact, there's a wonderful company called Less EMF that produces and sells metallized nylon fabric that you can use on your bed. And you can design your own Faraday cage, if you like, to sleep underneath and inside of an electroprotective environment. So really, the electropollution we're getting now from cell phones and from all kinds of radar waves, radio waves, TV and radio and power line, amounts to a cross area of what we have to call electropollution. And it's good to be able to, for example, go out into the country, which my wife and I did recently, where cell phone coverage wasn't even available. And we slept so well that night, it reminded me of the experience I had in a Faraday cage when I used to own one.
Good
so
point.
this is a valid question, but to attribute the Tesla wireless power as somehow being more powerful, which I think that's what you're implying, if we had a Wardenclyffe Tower or several of them broadcasting power line magnetic field or power level electromagnetic fields, would there be more electropollution? And the answer to that is actually no. In my book, Harnessing the Wheelwork of Nature, we actually have Jim Corum's analysis of that question, because he's been asked that many times. And the power density in watts per square centimeter is very low, extremely low, and much lower than most air electropollution.
Ran into a guitarist this weekend who has got arthritis, and he's petrified that his livelihood is going to go down the tubes. Would any of this electromagnetic machinery and technology work on him?
Well, actually, yes. And I say that without being a medical doctor, and I'm not making a medical claim, but from the anecdotal experience of people with joint pains, and both my wife and I do have these arthritic conditions, we're both in our 50s, and besides taking the nutrients, chondroitin, glucosamine, MSM, hyaluronic acid, those are four of the major ones that really help get the nutrients to the joints. And if you do exercises and weight-bearing exercise, specifically, your joints are like bones. They need the calcium transport. The electric fields, for example, the Premier Junior I was talking about, that device or any other small device that provides electron flow will break down the toxins that are normally stored in the joints. Many of us may not even know that the minerals we've ingested that are inorganic for all the years we've lived oftentimes can't be processed or eliminated by the body. So there's natural chelation methods, there's other methods to detox, but if you haven't, the toxins are normally stored in the joints. So there is a theory that arthritis does have some contribution from various mineral deposits that do need to be cleared out.
Okay, let's go to our wild card line. Mary in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Mary.
Hello, George and Tom.
Sure thing.
This is Mary, yes. I'll get right to the point. Now, you were just talking about the arthritis. Now, I have rheumatoid arthritis. I've had it since I was 24. And because of the drugs they were trying to put me on, they said that I could get lymphoma cancer. Well, guess what? I said, I don't think so. So now I am not on any kind of drug, and I bear the pain every day. And I was wondering, Tom, what could I do with that biomagnetic? Would that help me? And if it would, how would I get a hold of whatever you suggest, and how much would it run?
Well, to answer your question in general, we really can describe the fact that, for example, if you're referring to the Premier Junior, that's something that is described and available on our website, integrityresearchinstitute.org, or you can call the 888 number. But the important thing is that this is an ailment that has a psychosomatic component to it.
Right.
Rheumatoid is different than osteoporosis. And my cousin has it too. So I've talked and experienced the pain that you're going through, and basically sympathized with you. So really, there are a lot of therapy methods that are like meditation, for example. I wrote a book on modern meditation as well,
mm-hmm.
and I subscribe to that in helping the mind to heal the body, because many people don't know that auto-suggestion and affirmation.
Mind over matter.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, if you do have some electrotherapy and the right nutrients, and you're living a lifestyle that's not too stressful, you might even consider counseling too, because some of these emotional baggage issues oftentimes can create physical problems.
Well, that's true, but I'm like George. I've got grandkids, honey. Thank you.
Thank you, too.
I've got grandkids. I've got lots of them. I've got four of them. Hey, if you put a shower filter on your shower, will that reduce, though, the pressure of the shower?
No.
It will not. Okay.
No, we have one and it works just as well.
You get them at the home supply store, anything like that?
Yeah. And also the natural food stores. Mm-hmm.
Shower filter.
Yeah.
Charcoal, right?
That's right. Activated charcoal.
Cuts down on the chlorine. I guess if you're in a hot shower and the door is closed, it's almost like a gas effect, isn't it?
It could be. Absolutely. And the water treatment facility in your local city will agree that you're getting chlorine out of it, but you're supposed to let the water sit for a little while so the chlorine gas can diffuse before you drink it. But in the shower, you really don't have a chance to let it sit for a while.
It's there. It comes, bombards its way at you. Wild card line, Bob in Miami. Hi, Bob.
Hey, this is another example of why I've been listening to Coast since I was 12.
I love it.
Yeah, thanks, George.
Sure thing, my
question goes back to a little bit earlier in the program. And you had mentioned, George, that you wondered if the Illuminati was preventing some of these technologies from getting out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my question is this. Perhaps they couldn't make profits. Perhaps free energy is only free because of a money system, because of a system of value. Why is this being prevented if it, in essence, has the value becomes obsolete? Because if it's unlimited amounts of energy, if it's not scarce, then why is it not? Do you see what I'm going with this, George?
Sure do. And okay. He's got a good question here, Tom, and that is, you know, maybe they just can't make money with this.
That's right. Oh, that's absolutely true. And it's been that way even with vitamins. The FDA's try to stop vitamins every so often from being so readily available.
Oh, and they're not done with that yet either, are they?
That's a good analogy. You know, a similar situation, and of course, the people who have big businesses are suffering when they see a very effective treatment. Do you know, for example, ozone is classified as a drug by the FDA?
I did not know that.
I mean, and there's other natural therapies as well, phytonutrients and so forth. But this is really, I would agree with the caller that this is a major component of the issue. I mean, even when we heard the Iraq war from Wolfowitz was really, he was quoted in the newspaper as saying this was just for the oil. And so we have big businesses directing a lot of our activities in our nation, which really, when you consider the taxpayers' concerns, really should also have equal time.
Has the FDA approved any of these bioelectromagnetic devices?
Yes. And, in fact, one of the best examples I can cite, which also I had a conversation today concerning, is the fact that in the 1980s, my good friend Dr. Becker and Bassett and Pilla, the three of them together invented the bone treatment electrotherapy device. And it's a specific type of pulse, 16 hertz, and it helps knit bones, but it also helps really cure osteoporosis. This is one of the major ways that you can stress the bones without forcing older people to do weightlifting. And so it was a big boom. In fact, the magazines actually had articles, which I kept at the time, because I was in that field, talking about how many doctors were applying for FDA approval for that, and that specific bone treatment electro device. Well, here, 20 years later, the person on the street with osteoporosis has no idea where to get that type of device, or even if it's available anymore. Unfortunately, the doctors never made a business out of it so that it became available to the people on the street. And that is an issue. You know, FDA approval doesn't guarantee that the product will sustain itself for years to come.
If a guy, Tom, bought this device and set up a shop and just started treating people, not making claims, but treating people, I bet they'd shut him down.
Well, I can tell you stories of people who have done that, and certainly it's lucky and fortunate that they have found medical doctors to come to their aid. And my good friend Guy Obolensky, for example, I really revere him. He's one of a kind. He's used the high-voltage Tesla coil for years to treat people with all kinds of terminal diseases. And he's had medical doctors help and advise him and send him terminal patients as well. So luckily he hasn't made any claims. He's had a low profile, no website, no phone number that is posted anywhere. And there's many others that have to do that type of stealth marketing in order to survive.
What's really the difference in results between the electromagnetic technology and the light technology?
Well, the electro technology is, I would say, perhaps more powerful. If we can compare the two just in terms of intensity.
Okay.
Because you can penetrate the entire body with high voltage or magnetic fields or both. And when you're sitting, say, right near a Tesla coil, and that's what I try to focus on through much of the book, is to give you examples of how and why the body would respond to this. The Tesla coil spectrum, which I have in the back of the book, actually contains kilohertz, megahertz, and gigahertz. I mean, this is a broad-based, broadband bath that the person is. It's like a frequency bath. Not only is it high voltage and electrons. See, many people may not know that the free radical damage has been connected to mitochondrial damage and aging. And so the quenching of free radicals alone tends to be a great boost to the immune system and to the lack of aging, because you're getting rid of those free radicals that are constantly destroying our DNA and our tissues.
All right, we'll be back with final questions with Dr. Tom Vallone right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. Well, get ready for our next Coast to Coast program. We're going behind the secret door. A number of guests popping in every half hour. Who they are, only a producer knows, not even me. That's our next Coast to Coast show. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Dr. Tom Vallone, our final segment here. Let's go right back to the calls. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Is that me?
I think it might be.
Okay. Good morning, gentlemen. I have a specific question, but in the meantime, my partner is furiously looking for a paper of Tesla's that we came across almost 20 years ago, and he talked about healing just about anything, including cancer. You know, so anyway, he's looking for that. And I wanted to ask about a TENS unit. Is there any benefit? We have an old TENS unit that we got years ago, and is there any benefit to doing anything with it?
Yes, actually there is, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because as George asked for examples that have FDA approval, TENS units are another excellent category of devices that do have FDA approval and can be used really for the pain cessation and have been proven to work for that purpose.
Oh, great. Like right now, our dog has a problem with his leg. He hurt it, and, you know, he just keeps he doesn't really keep injuring it, but he keeps getting it sore by, you know, because we have hard floors. And would we have to shave hair off of his leg or anything to actually get some kind of benefit from that?
Well, it depends on what type of electrodes you have on the unit. Mm-hmm. For the listeners who don't know what we're talking about, it's a transcutaneous electromagnetic stimulator, and TENS is the acronym. So if you can't make contact very well, then yes, you probably could really benefit by shaving it.
Great. And, George, I wanted to say, when you say, "I did not know that," you always remind me of Johnny Carson.
That's true.
That's right.
I didn't know that either. All right, thanks.
That's
all right. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, Doctor. Hello, George. This
hey.
Is John in Dallas, and I would like to apologize in advance because I'm going to sound a little bit skeptical, and I'm sure I don't have much time, so I'd like to get right to it.
All right, and no need to apologize, John.
I've heard a lot of jargon and a lot of anecdotal evidence and about this doctor was in a magazine 20 years ago and this and that, but I haven't heard anything concrete. I mean, first of all, what exactly is a doctor of engineering physics? I mean, I know that you can get a degree in science or art in engineering or physics. What is engineering physics?
Well, if that is your question, it basically can be answered simply.
That's my first question.
Engineering physics combines both fields. I did undergraduate. Let me answer the question for you, sir. Undergraduate, I actually specialized and got two degrees. A double degree, it took me 5 years instead of four, one in electrical engineering and one in physics. And then in grad school, I spent a few years in each department pursuing two masters. I actually was advised just to stick with one and go for the PhD. And then basically I also had over 70 credit hours in both fields.
So you got a bachelor in
electrical and a bachelor in physics.
You got a bachelor in electrical engineering?
That's right, from State University of New York at Buffalo.
And then you got a bachelor in physics.
As well, yeah. And then there literally is a department called engineering physics in the electrical engineering department at most universities. And they specifically do engineering that's oftentimes for the defense department, and it requires lots of physics knowledge, like dealing with high currents, which I did.
So that would be through the SUNY system?
Yeah.
State University of New York? Because, I mean, right now I'm in University of Texas system, and I don't know of any engineering physics program, but I believe you if you say that's fine. I mean, all that coursework that you did, that's fine. But I mean, a lot of the things that I'm hearing you say is basically just jargon and statistics and anecdotal evidence. I haven't heard anything concrete, anything even empirical, never mind rigorous, to back up anything that you've said. I mean, it's all just this guy may have been, this guy was in a magazine. I mean, I don't hear anything about anything peer-reviewed, any journal articles,
Let me answer that question before you keep rambling on about that.
That's not rambling. It's a question.
Then let me answer the question. I've written about 10 books. Six of them are what we tried to discuss tonight, but in each of the books, I specifically focus on journal articles for references. People even complain when they read my work that I have too many references, too many journal articles.
Yeah, but I mean, I can attest they're in the back of his book.
Thank you, George.
They're all over the place.
Usually about 100 references. I usually do 100 or 200 references of peer-reviewed journals for each of the topics I've written books about.
Okay, well, I mean,
please visit the website. And you
They're there. And one of the reasons why we don't talk a lot about references is because it's boring.
There you go. Yeah, the references are there, so let's go on to the next question.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello. Can you hear me all right?
Loud and clear.
This is Louise. I'm an inventor. I have many inventions, and I've even invented a way to help paraplegics get back enough function either to walk or at least it'll help them live a lot longer and get better circulation. And I've been stalled in the patent office. I've never patented anything. The patent office has tried to stonewall me on everything. So I've drafted legislation to help people get patents by making these patents available to everybody. And patent pending is no way for me. I'm not going to do patent pending. I'm not going to borrow money from anybody who asks me questions about my inventions. In other words, I'm not going to let anybody into my business.
And what is your question?
And what have you invented?
Oh, well, many ways to generate electricity and get them to people. And then this other thing I've told you about, things of that nature.
Like free energy?
Almost free.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Almost Free?
Almost Free.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time, though.
Well, it's some capital investment, so it makes it almost free. You have to spend a little money to get it working, buy the unit first.
Yeah, Dr. Vallone, what I need is I need you to listen to what I have to say and see if you know of any way to make it happen. This new law that I have drafted is about a half a page of 100 words, and it simply says that, first of all, applicants are not required to submit drawings. They may use photographs of what they have built, or they may even bring it in and show it to the patent office.
Sure. You can do that even today.
But they wouldn't let me. They said I had to have a drawing.
Well, that oftentimes is encouraged, but you're not required to have a drawing. So really a patent attorney can help you in that regard, and that's usually the standard advice to follow. But go ahead and send me an email, because it sounds like it's been involved.
The rest of it is that they have to allow patent applicants to file for a patent, not patent pending. They have to let, on this new legislation I've written, they have to allow everybody to file for a patent. And if somebody doesn't have the money, they can pay later. And if they do have the money, they can pay now. And then they can pay according to how much money they make. So if I make $1 billion on mine, they can charge me $1 million instead of the $500 that they were wanting.
What's your email, Tom, for people?
It's iri@starpower.net.
One more time.
iri@starpower.net.
Simple enough. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to our first-time caller line. Hey, Brian, you're on the air with us.
Yes, hello. How are you this evening?
Good morning, Brian. Thanks.
I wanted to ask the host if he was aware of two research scientists, I believe it was two and a half years ago, that had developed an instrument that would deliver a low-voltage current, DC, through the body via two IV needles, positive and then negative, that would return back to the device. And the purpose of the device was to literally kill the AIDS virus that was in the body's system. We're supposed to have had excellent results with it, and now the device has vanished off the market, but there's supposed to still be a patent for the device that exists. And I didn't know if the host was aware of this or not, or had heard anything about it.
Well, the host isn't, but how about the guest?
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Okay. I'm flipping through the appendix to the book.
And it's not unusual for the host not to know about it.
Okay. The answer is yes. And in my book, Bioelectromagnetic Healing, in the back on page 75, is a short article called Electrocuting the AIDS Virus. And it specifically describes the Kali patent That's K-A-A-L-I. And it really is a fascinating story because Bob Beck was the one who contacted Dr. Colley and complained. He was at the Einstein College of Medicine and complained that, yeah, you've invented a great device to kill the AIDS virus in blood. And that's what it was designed for storage of blood. And he says, but you've got a cure for AIDS. And he says, Dr. Colley responded to Bob Beck saying, well, we don't have funding for that application.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
That's a true story. So I've reprinted 4 pages on this device that the caller is referred to, and the company that now reproduces the Colley patent application that Bob Beck designed to be a low-cost implementation of this patented usage. And it's a silver pulser and a magnetic pulser, but the soda company, SOTA, is the one that sells it, and they're sodainstruments.com.
Okay, next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Lori, you're on the air with us. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Hi, doctor. I just got diagnosed with degenerative bone disease, and I watched this show on Bio Channel, and they were talking about like the ultraviolet, and it kills the bacteria, and then I was wondering about the infrared also for pain, and do the products that they have out, do you believe that the infrared is actually helping with the pain, like the products they sell in the massagers or anything like that, that have the infrared?
Well, and that's one of the things I'm testing right now.
On the infrared?
Yeah. I'll let you know in
Can
a couple
I be a
weeks
guinea
how
pig?
It works. Well, I'm being one myself, so I'll let you know what happens.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, to tell you the truth, from my own experience, infrared is very helpful, but I also, as I said before, advise the pulsed infrared instead of the constant, like the heat lamp, the old-style heat lamp that all our parents use.
Yeah, this does pulse. This one blinks.
There you go.
Okay, that's what I was wondering about, because the one I have doesn't really pulse.
Why do you like the blink, Tom?
Well, and really the reason's in the book. The pulsed effect is really the way the cells cannot react and get defensive. And plus the gradient. It's really an electric gradient you're creating by having this pulsing, whether it's in the terahertz, like we're talking about, infrared, or in the kilohertz and gigahertz. But let me mention that there's some expensive ones out there, but there's a company called LightRelief.com, and they sell it for like $75, and it's an excellent device. I keep one next to my bed, and it has a timed timer on it, plus it gives you 4 different choices of the pulse rate. And it includes infrared LEDs and various light LEDs.
Let's go to our wildcard line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes. I have a question. What is zero-point energy? I mean, I've heard it mentioned on the show before, but it's like there was a chiropractor on once. He used it to heal people, but I don't know. What is it?
what's your definition of it, Thomas?
Glad you asked. Zero-point energy is the energy that exists after you get rid of any thermal energy or any electromagnetic energy, any other type. And it's available everywhere. It's really the quantum vacuum that permeates all of existence, including our own atoms. The one of the interesting things is the electron stays away from the nucleus, even though it's electrostatically attracted to it because of zero-point energy. And so it's a very interesting type of non-thermal agitation, or noise, they call it. And I have a whole chapter describing how it's being measured in semiconductors, and there's a diode method that can be used to rectify it and produce electricity from it.
Tom, lately we've been seeing lights all over the country, Indiana, Florida, Stephenville, Ohio, all over the place. Could this be the craft we're talking about tonight? That we, under a black ops program, have, or might it be extraterrestrial?
Most of the fellows you talk to who have been in that field for years, the black ops or close to it with top secret clearance, will tell you that over 50% of the lights and the unusual aircraft we see are ones that are owned by our own country.
Well, that means the other 50%.
We don't know. Could be 10 or 20 that's the ET, but a good majority is definitely ours. And we've had over half a century to perfect them.
First-time caller line, you're up with us. Hello there.
Hi. Is it? Am I on?
Hi, V, right?
Yes. Good evening. I was interested in finding out if you are aware of a machine that was around for quite a while. I haven't been able to locate it recently, and it's used for people with Lyme disease, and it supposedly killed spirochetes, and it's an electromagnetic type of machine. Would you be aware of anything like that, or does your book tell us anything about things like...
Yes.
Oh, good.
In fact, the book is filled with journal references that specifically describe various bacterial, leukemia cells, viruses, and so forth being killed in specific studies. I even have on page 90 a table that describes the various field effects and the results from them, in other words, magnetic and electric fields. So, there's so many that have that application. Perhaps just if you Google Lyme disease, you probably will find a few companies that already have studies that relate to that. But my book actually goes into the bacterial and viral applications, which I don't believe specifically list Lyme disease, but there are plenty of others.
Where's your next speaking engagement, Tom, like the X Conference?
I'll be at the World Future Society in July, and also the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics, which is also in July.
Okay, you're going to be at any other conferences that I might pop up? I'm going to one in San Jose, one in Chicago, so I'll be all over the place myself.
Yeah, I was in Santa Fe just a few weeks ago at the Science and Consciousness Conference, but after the X Conference, I'm hoping that I don't have too many more in the fall as well, but I'm sure I will.
Well, it was good to meet you at the X Conference, and I told you we'd do a show with you.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
And here we are. Give out your website, that toll-free number, one more time.
Okay, it's integrityresearchinstitute.org, and the standard 800 number is 295-7674, and that goes to a answering machine. But the phone that we've had for orders is the 888-802-5243.
All right, thank you. Dr. Thomas Vallone, for Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.